Cute dog.
So sorry about that. Yeah, she's gonna chill for the podcast. She's freaking adorable.
Much needed break for me to hit my Jewel.
Your off-brand Jewel Puff
It's a
Bar.
Puff Bar, actually, which is trendier than a Jewel now.
How long until Puff Bars are just banned from existence? How long until you're like, oh, remember a cucumber Puff Bar? I would give anything to hit a cucumber Puff Bar.
Honestly, I hope soon. I feel like the only thing that's gonna like convince me that it's bad for me is for the government to be like, please stop.
I hate to tell you this, Jan, but the government does not care about you or your health.
This is the first time I'm hearing this.
You go, what?
Mystic balls. Hi, baby.
What's up, girl? How's it going? Wow, I came in really hot with the microphone there.
I know, it's so crisp right now.
That's how I like it. It's really ASMR-y.
Yeah, it is. Let's just scrap this whole episode.
Welcome to Vampire Diaries ASMR.
Ian Somerhalder. Nina Dobrev. Brev Dobrev. Hot.
Hot dude, this episode,
Double camisoles.
she
True.
looks beautiful.
Religion. Denim. She always looks beautiful. Oh, you mean it, the dress, the orange dress.
Just like she did her makeup and her hair like didn't look whack and she wasn't wearing a tank top and I was like, she's beautiful. Can you
Yeah.
imagine just like being, I just look at girls that are that pretty and I'm like, God, the privilege.
It's immense. It is. It's a real thing. There's studies and it's a thing, and they're getting paid a lot more than us, that's for sure.
Beauty is a currency.
Who do you think out of like the characters in the Vampire Diaries, like who do you think would be like who would vote for Trump?
Who would vote for Trump?
Yeah. Tyler. All star.
Tyler. Yeah, no.
Tyler.
Tyler probably would. I feel like
Matt would vote for Trump the first election and then regret it.
yeah. And
Elena wouldn't vote because she's not allowed to have an opinion because she is the female protagonist.
yeah, she stays really neutral. Really neutral.
Stefan would be so hard for Bernie.
I feel like you're just projecting. You're like, I want him to just love Bernie Sanders.
No, but think about Stefan is so like he's such a lover, not a fighter, and I feel
No,
like
that's
he
true.
absolutely would have been like in when he was alive in like the 60s or whatever, he would have been marching right alongside Bernard.
I feel like if you live that long of a life too, there's no way you don't just stumble into politics. You know what I mean?
Or you're so over every like history repeating itself every single 50 years that you just give up.
God, that is so bleak. Ugh, nothing ever changes. Lessons are never learned.
Anyways,
Anyways, episode four, baby.
episode 4, really hard to compete with episode 3.
Yeah, I'm into it. It took me a minute. It's hard too because the only real way to watch a show these days is to just like watch a season in a weekend, you know what I mean? And I've
Yeah.
just been watching one episode at a time. So I think I might honestly watch some more after this because I'm obsessed.
Yeah, you're hooked.
And it's getting episode four was freaking steamy. The makeouts, dude.
I know, and they weren't a dream this time.
People be making out
We
in this episode.
making out. Three separate couples made out in this episode.
I know. And they also do the thing that like teenagers do where you make out, but you don't do anything else, which adults somehow like forgot was a thing you can do. And I love
Unless
that.
you're on Love Island.
God, we do need to make a Love Island podcast.
So the episode starts with Elena. She wakes up to like a spooky noise. She goes to see where it's coming from and sees on the TV that there's news running of her found dead after an animal attack. And then Damon appears and basically like sinks his teeth into her juicy little neck.
Yeah.
And then Stefan wakes up and he's having a bad dream.
So crazy that Stefan can have a dream in the perspective of Elena.
basically we find out that like vampires can like not only compel people but can like get into their heads and control their dreams. So it was Damon giving Stefan a spooky dream,
which is crazy that he can do it to another vampire. Like, wouldn't you think a vampire would be immune to other vampires, like
compelling or whatever,
compelling them? God, I always forget that term. I'm like making them do things.
Persuasion. Well, what's weird is that I feel like in the rest of the show, like, vampires can't compel other vampires, but I think the dream thing is separate.
Okay, not that it like really matters, but
the screenwriters are still working out the kinks, so we gotta just be patient with them.
Plot holes do happen, people.
They happen, and they happen frequently on this show, but we love it anyways. Damon covered his tracks, and he actually blamed all the attacks on a mountain lion because apparently they found a mountain lion and killed it. But it was unclear to me whether he personally placed the mountain lion.
Unclear. I would assume yes. Honestly, the only thing I took away from this entire scene was that Damon made a Taylor Swift reference, and I was like, my man. He goes,
what did he say?
He's like talking about how women like him for his charm and his good looks, and he's like, and the fact that I unflinchingly am able to listen to Taylor Swift. And I was like, any man that can unflinchingly listen to Taylor Swift can get it.
That's such a low bar. It's a pretty erotic picture of Ian Somerhalder, like, catching a mountain lion and then subsequently, like, placing it somewhere the police would find it, I will say.
I just feel like he doesn't have that kind of, like, dedication to the craft.
Then how did the mountain lion get there?
Right place at the right time.
Interesting. That's not exactly along the lines of how the show places it, but I guess, like, they put it to rest, so we'll put it to rest.
Another plot hole.
And then the next morning, the news is actually on in real life, and we find out that Aunt Jenna, who's back for this episode, baby.
I love the energy she brings to the show. I love it. And also, I love this new character, Logan, baby.
Logan fell. Aunt Jenna banged the newsman.
He's a real cutie.
Okay.
Him on the news. I see someone on TV, and I'm like, that's hot. News anchors really do it for me. So Logan's up on TV talking about the stuff that happened.
The things that went down, and Aunt Jenna fucked him.
Yeah, so they kind of just blaze past everything and go straight to like the drama of Aunt Jenna and Logan, and she's like, she doesn't want to talk about it.
Who knocks on the door uninvited but Stefan? Our Bernie supporting vampire,
our liberal teenage man,
Stefan Salvatore.
Yeah, and then Elena does something so out of character and just like jumps his bones immediately in the hallway.
Yeah, their relationship has progressed between the third and fourth episode.
Are they like a boyfriend and girlfriend? How do these things work? I feel like I remember them calling him her boyfriend in like the first episode after they like locked eyes for the first time, but.
Yeah, isn't that how it works for you?
There wasn't, no, ma'am. I need a formal converse. I need like a sit down contract, like sign here. You're my girlfriend now.
I feel like especially in high school, like if you needed to have that like text convo where you're like, what should I call you?
What are we? Yeah, you don't just like keep talking for like a week and assume. You can't be assuming these things.
Well, they did, and they're boyfriend and girlfriend, and he knocks on her door. They have a sneaky little makeout sesh in what I'm assuming is the early hours of the morning. Like, is this before 8 school? The morning news is on.
It's never too early for a makeout, I guess.
I guess. And the door to her room is open, which gave me extreme PTSD. They decide, and I'm quoting, to press pause on it, partially because Stefan gets the dick vein eye phenomenon again, which now we can attribute, I guess, to him being horny. That was kind of a question we had before.
I guess like the need to drain a human of their blood and also being aroused are intertwined, which is,
I get it.
Me too.
Caroline is trying on her little yellow dress that Damon hates.
Control, dude. Ugh.
Reminds him of jaundice.
The way he's just literally emotionally abusive. He's like, I said you're not going to wear it and you won't. She was like, go to the ball with me or whatever. It's not a ball, but I'm going to call it a ball for lack of a better term.
Sure.
And he's like, if you're going to go with me, you're not going to wear the yellow dress. Which, by the way, the dress she did end up wearing was far more ugly than the yellow dress. But that's neither here nor there.
That's a disservice to that actress, too. My God.
Her outfit is so... all these dresses were so early 2000s. I was gagging. It reminded me of, like, Homecoming circa 2012.
Pretty heinous. But to be fair, I'm pretty sure it was, like, 2012. No, it wasn't. It was, like, 2009. But, like... Same thing.
That's the same thing. I would have done Homecoming in 2009, so I was like in sixth grade.
And then, super exciting, we find out how vampire babies are made.
Yeah. Oh, a lot is just like really revealed to us in a matter of like 30 seconds. I was like trying to put it all in my brain. He just totally, well, he's reading Twilight also.
Is he? Oh my God, I didn't even notice. That's so funny.
And they talk about the differences, I guess, between real vampires and Twilight vampires, which is crazy that they are allowed to do that. I guess Twilight would exist in that world, but...
It's so meta. So vampire babies are made, he says, literally, in 30 seconds. She's like, oh, are these vampire bites going to turn me into a vampire? And he's
so blasé, too. She's like, by the way, just like a secondary thought of mine, am I going to be a vampire?
Nothing more blasé than a woman trapped in a toxic relationship, if you're asking me. But, he's basically like, it's more complicated. Like, first you would have to drink my blood, then you'd have to die, then you'd have to feed on a human.
A lot of steps, really.
Yeah, well, it's three steps. But, yeah, so we figure that out. And then she asks, are you going to kill me? Again, so blasé.
She's like, follow-up quest. Am I going to die soon?
Just like a really quick addition to that last question I asked. But yeah, and he's like, no, not yet. And that's like, that's it. End of discussion. And which, then they go back to doing whatever the fuck they're doing.
Kind of hot.
We're going to have to unpack that
later. We have to unpack a lot.
With a mental health professional.
That, like, control scenes, I was like, why am I feeling like I'm watching 50 Shades of Grey? This is erotic.
Oh, no.
Oh, well, no.
Jeremy just lurks in the Mystic Grill waiting to berate Vicky.
Jeremy with the one-liners, man. I'm like, do you have a character even? What even is your deal?
No, he doesn't. And he basically only exists in the Mystic Grill, which is funny.
Yeah, and to like stalk Vicky, which is, you know.
Tyler's there, and Vicky is waiting on his table with him and his parents, who his dad is the mayor, BT Dubs, Mayor Lockwood. And
which I didn't know, by the way. Was that a thing?
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense as his like character develops. I'm like, oh, you're the mayor's son. I get it.
It's very, very hard to be born into privilege.
Yeah.
So we can excuse him of all prior transgressions, including intent to rape a woman in the woods.
Hence, further evidence why Tyler is a Republican.
For sure.
Ugh.
Easy money. He totally voted for Trump. He like ignores her in front of her parents. It makes her mad. And then he talks to her and she reveals that she would love to be invited to the ball. It's like the founders party or whatever the fuck. And then he invites her because she like asked to be invited essentially. And then Jeremy approaches her because he just doesn't have anything else to do, I guess, and is kind of giving her a hard time about it. And like, that's him for this episode.
Yeah, that's Jeremy. He makes like his one appearance to just totally undermine anything Vicky tries to do with her life, and then that's the last we see of him.
Yeah, I mean, we see him again with like the watch, which I'm gonna bring up right now. So Mrs. Lockwood needs the Gilbert watch for it's like a pocket watch for the like to put on display during the Founders Day party. And so Elena It's like polishing it up and getting it ready to go or whatever. And Jeremy makes a big hoo-ha about it because he's like, I could sell this on eBay or whatever. And it's a whole thing. And then she finds out that the reason why he is so protective over the watch is because his dad was going to pass it down to him.
Which is really sad and sweet. And I was like, aw, Jeremy, again, you redeem yourself in my eyes. Like, you just love your dad. Also, he didn't go to the ball. He just, like, played video games, which is so classic Jeremy.
We go to the Salvatore house where Uncle Zach, who's, I'm just now noticing, is really hot.
Cheyenne, just because a man is, like, over the age of 35 doesn't make him automatically hot.
I don't think he's over the age of 35.
How old do you think Zach is? 30.
Like 32.
You're like 34, turning 35 in January.
He's all grumpy because two vampires have come to live in his home, which, to be fair, I'd probably be grumpy as well.
So Uncle Zach is not a vampire.
He is not.
Oh, I didn't know that I realized that. I thought he was just like really chill.
Well, yeah, he's for sure not, because Damon like puts him in a fucking chokehold.
Right. Oh, and he can't like run away and like do his like little vampire like I show up on like, the other side of the room.
He can't do a big impressive jump, so we know he's not a vampire.
He's a mere mortal.
But he's like in the know in terms of like he knows that his relatives are vampires.
Can you imagine you have a lineage of vampires and you're just like normal?
Kind of sucks, to be honest. No wonder. He's a little grumpy grump. I wonder what he does for a living. Do you think he's like the town plumber?
He looks like he is like a bank teller. He's just like super under the radar, but like friendly. Like he needs a job where he interacts with people. I didn't see him as grumpy. I saw him as like a
concerned
citizen. Yeah, he's like a concerned like uncle. He's like, you boys are wreaking havoc in the
town. A concerned like great, 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 like nephew.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, I don't really care, but like, you be killing people, so freaking relax.
He's like, I don't know much, but I know this shit ain't no mountain lion. But yeah, he like pops up. Poor guy doesn't get anything to do other than be a plot device. And he reveals that he has a little vervain stash going on, grown in like the same way that you would grow weed, like with the lights and everything.
Oh yeah, I was like, if this man is growing vervain, I wonder what else he's got like little home operation going on in this.
Yeah, there's dungeon. Probably some herbals. Yeah,
which good for sure. Good for Uncle Zach. He looks like,
how else are you gonna unwind after a day of dealing with your vampire relatives?
Exactly. Yeah, which, so I guess vervain hasn't been grown in this area since like 1867 or like something crazy.
And like, why? That's just said. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess they like put a stop to it. So it's like the kryptonite of vampires, we learn.
Yeah, and so Stefan is like, well, I can't really do anything to fix this situation as long as I continue to, like, be a vampire, vegetarian, vegan, whatever the fuck you want to call it. And so they have a little plan. They're
vegan,
like,
that's
a vegampire.
A vegampire.
It's bad. It really doesn't work. But, yeah, so they devise a little plan. They're like, well, why don't we just, like, sneak him a little vervain and then he'll be weak and you can like defeat him and or whatever.
Really,
and
pro Stefan killing Damon. Which like kill, yeah. Or just like I don't even
weaken, or they don't really like get past the first step of that plan. Like what was the intent? I guess we find out later in the episode. But yeah, so they slip a little vervain into his drink. And as they're, like, getting ready for the ball, I feel like we're talking about Cinderella, the ball.
Ball, I know. I was like, I don't know what else to call this other than a ball.
It's a ball.
It is a ball. And I so desperately want to go to a ball. I just want to be, keeping in mind this is the time of a coronavirus and I haven't been in a crowd in 6 months, but I would give anything to, like, put on a grand dress and, like, prance around. I loved prom.
Yeah, at this point, I'm going to put on a grand dress to go to, like, a socially distanced picnic. Yeah.
And I don't blame you. I literally put on a full work outfit the other day. I, like, put on a dress and, like, my loafers and was like working at my kitchen table. So anyway,
they try to sneak a little something in his drink. And Stefan's like, have a drink, have a little pregame, like have a little like roadie with me as we're like both in our like little wife beater tanks getting ready for the ball. Ooh, and
keep the tattoo on Stefan, which I hadn't noticed before, but the man's got a tattoo. He doesn't even ask. Mm-hmm. Does he ask Stefan to have a drink with him? I thought Stefan was just like pretty nonchalant about it. And then Damon was like, ah, like I shall have a drink, like to celebrate. I forget what they're celebrating.
Yeah, I think it was more along those lines, but Damon
and then
makes a big show of pouring it on the ground.
Hot.
And then says, and I quote, I'm not some drunk sorority chick. You can't roofie me.
I literally wrote that exact quote down. I'm not just some drunk sorority chick. You can't roofie me. And I paused it. I paused it and was like, you can't roofie anyone.
Yeah.
But a drunk sorority.
Well, unless it's a drunk sorority chick.
I'm not just some drunk sorority chick. You can't roofie me. He's like, you can't get away with it that easy, white boy. Which, to be fair, you can. Never mind.
That was said. And so he's a little too smart for that game. Later, Uncle Zach. I love Uncle Zach. Uncle Zach says to Stefan, oh, I'm sorry, that was his favorite scotch. Like, did you think because it was his favorite scotch, he'd be like, there's a little vervain in it, but, like, I'll go for it.
We can risk it. Yeah, I don't know, but he likes scotch. That's just so typical.
Yeah. Uncle Zach screwed the pooch, and that's that.
I mean, Damon's quite observant also. How did he know? Can you, like, smell it?
I don't know.
Or is it, like...
Probably.
Okay. There's, like, a lot of logistics that I really need written out for me.
Yeah, you're not going to get them, so just work with it. So that's that on that. And Caroline is over with Elena. They're painting their nails, whatever, getting ready, blah, blah, blah. Bonnie reveals to Elena what Caroline told her about Catherine and that whole saga, and basically says that, you know, they both had a thing for Catherine. Catherine chose Damon. And then it made Stefan crazy. So he then went on to like manipulate her and like feed her lies and try and get her to steer away from Damon and back towards him. Super side note, Elena's wearing cropped leggings and another double cami moment for us. Not sure what I cared about more. It was very distracting. My attention was being drawn to all different places.
Yeah, you and Elena's tank tops, I don't even notice. I literally can't stop looking at her beautiful, beautiful face. She's like, that's really interesting.
Well, she's like, that probably is Damon's side of the story, and it's not my business. Obviously, that changes like in the episode as she, you know, more and more little whispers in her ear kind of build up, which, like, fair.
Yeah, if you hear it from multiple sources.
So that little seed is planted. I did notice later in the episode that Elena does not paint her nails. So interesting.
Plot hole, another plot hole. These writer rooms, they were like, well, it's all men. We need to remember.
They're like, women paint their nails.
It slipped through the cracks.
Yeah. I mean, maybe she did like a little clear polish action. We can't be mad at that. A little minimalist.
She's very plain. Like, I would be shocked if she had like bright pink nails. You know what I mean?
Well, she can afford to be plain because she won the fucking genetic lottery when she was
born. She's a 10. She doesn't need to paint her nails pink to, like, get D'd down.
Yeah. Which she still hasn't, by the way.
Just, like, a steamy makeout after another. And then he was, like, super weird. Did we get to the makeout scene already? Oh, we did. When they were, like, making out, just looping back. God. But he was, like, obviously got his, like, penis vein eyes horny for blood and for her, I guess, and like stopped
horny for
and
blood.
She was so whatever about it. She was so understanding. She was like, yeah, that was getting really far, maybe we should stop. It's like, who are you, this angel sent from heaven above?
Well, that's so high school.
It's scary.
Anyways, will they go to the Founders? Oh, it is the Founders, ball. It is a ball.
It is a ball. Yeah, it's a ball.
Oh. Okay, we weren't being dramatic then. Cool. Okay, so they're at the Founders Ball. There's a whole cast of characters there, including Aunt Jenna, Aunt Jenna's, you know, toxic ex-boyfriend from high school, Logan Fell, Carolyn's mom, Ellen DeGeneres is present.
Yeah, she's kind of a hot cop.
Yeah, she's Ellen. She looks like Ellen DeGeneres to me.
With a little more,
which I know is a loaded statement to make in the current social media climate surrounding Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah, Ellen's getting canceled. It's so crazy to like be in the midst of watching a celebrity get canceled, especially when rumors have been flying. It was just a matter of time. I don't even know. She was just like mean to her. She was just like mean to her assistants or something. Is that what happened?
Yeah, it just sounds like she's just kind of like a witch. Sheriff Forbes / Ellen DeGeneres is present. And Aunt Jenna and Logan Fell have a lot of spicy exchanges. Aunt Jenna's on her queen shit this episode.
She's such a baddie.
But she gives in. She agrees to lunch after like his third approach. Typical of us women.
Yeah, I know. He's like, that didn't work. Let me try again and just really wear you down, which persuasion is not consent. Anyway, he finally does wear her down in the end, but like, she's so reluctant. I don't know. How could you like ethically go on a date that you had to convince someone to go on?
I mean, I will say, like, I just want to know, like, what did he do to her? She claims that she fled town because of him. Like, this is more than just, like, a bad high school breakup. Like, what did he do? We're never, like, let in on that.
No, we're not. You also have to imagine Aunt Jenna is, like, probably pretty horny. She's, like, this single hot 30-something, chilling, raising high schoolers. Like, she's got to be like, I just need to have a man fawn over me. And he's trying really hard. In her defense, he does try really hard, and people that try hard can get what they want, I guess. Men just try a little harder, we might give in.
Yeah, I think that's so not the message I want to be sent out, but okay. I just feel like it's so subjective on like what he did. Like, if he's, because he says he's like, oh, I did some soul searching and like life got real and like, I want to make it up to you, and like that would be fine if he was just kind of a bad boyfriend, or if maybe, I don't know, he like cheated on her once or something. That would be a completely different story if he assaulted her, not to be extreme. But I just like, because we don't have any context,
yeah,
it makes it just like really funny to me, like just imagining,
because we can't forgive him,
as punch her in the face and then like comes back and is like, I did some soul searching, and she's like, let's get lunch. That changes the story.
Yeah, the cheating thing too is like, I mean, I don't know your stance on cheating. I've really been thinking about it a lot.
You don't?
I mean, I know your stance is like bad, like don't cheat. But like, there's a difference between a serial cheater and like someone that's like, ooh, I accidentally did one thing one time. Right? I don't know. I'm getting blank stares. I mean, don't cheat.
I don't know.
But if you do cheat, don't tell. And that's advice brought to you by Nicole.
Don't cheat, but if you do, be extra careful to make sure that it was never found out that you were cheating, so that you don't have to berate a woman at the Founders Ball for three separate times to get her to go to lunch to you.
I feel like if you cheat once and you're like, that was a huge mistake and it's not going to happen again, like, don't risk your relationship. But if you do it again, like, you got a problem. You know what I mean? You
got a problem and you got to cover it up.
And then just don't tell them again and keep doing it. No, I'm just kidding. Don't cheat, everyone. I take it back.
She fled town for unknown reasons. I'm not sure. Could have been her being dramatic. Could have been him. That's that on that. Again, she agrees to have lunch with him. Yeah. So Damon is there with Caroline. And while Elena is looking at like all the different like artifacts or whatever that they have presented, like from the town's history, she sees Stefan Salvatore and Damon Salvatore signed on like the original Founders Ball document. And of course, Damon appears over her shoulder out of nowhere, because that's what he does, and is like, oh, those are the first Salvatore brothers, and like, they both loved a woman, and reveals this whole like tragic backstory of the original Salvatore brothers, who we can assume is them.
They have a battle. There's like this infamous battle wherein a bunch of civilians die, but it's revealed to us in this moment that the actual story is that the civilians were like
burned in a church,
which didn't we already find out in episode 3 when Elena is talking to Damon that Elizabeth burned in a fire? Like, she died in a fire.
Who's Elizabeth?
What's her name?
Catherine.
God, this is like the same name, pretty much.
Yeah, they're the same. I mean, Catherine, yeah, we can assume that Catherine was in that church of civilians that were burned, and that it's Stefan and Damon tried to save her and were shot and murdered, is what we're told by Damon.
Yeah. And I can like kind of see Elena's wheels are like turning, and she's like processing this, and she's like, that sounds like something I'm eerily familiar, but she hasn't put two and two together yet. And how could she? How could she be like, you guys are these people? Like, she wouldn't know, you know?
Right. That would be insane.
But she,
that would be a crazy jump for her to make.
She smells something.
She's like, oh, so that was you in 1864.
You can tell she like thinks it. And this is, again, gaslighting 101. She's like, I'm definitely crazy to think this. You can tell it like crosses her mind.
Fellas, have you ever wondered how to gaslight your girl?
Did you ever live 100
tell them that it wasn't you who got shot trying to save Catherine from the church that was burning full of civilians
150 years ago?
Literally 150 years ago. Yeah, so that's freaky. Gives us a little bit more insight into the Catherine drama, which I think it's funny that Elena thinks that like it was just like, oh, freshman year of high school, they both dated the same girl, and like that's all it is. And in reality, it was 1864, and she got burned alive in a church for being like potentially a union sympathizer.
Yeah, and
can you like, that is, those are two different narratives.
Two different narratives. Also, kind of spicy that two brothers liked the same girl. I don't know. Every time I like think of that story and this like plot line, I just think that's so horny. There's a lot of hot women in the world,
and in this show, it's a CW show, for Christ's sakes. You can find another hot woman, just like, she's an extra in the background.
The girls are like pretty ready to get it. They're like all anyway.
Anyway, are we gonna say horny again this episode?
Everyone is so horny in Vampire Diaries. It's just like part of the whole thing.
Vicky arrives. She's wearing yellow, which probably reminded Damon of Jaundice, but I think she looks fab.
Yeah, this whole like narrative of Vicky being on the other side of the tracks and her being like white trash is so crazy to me. I don't know why. I'm like, y'all really be hating poor people.
And we kind of figure out why Tyler was so hesitant to like introduce her to his parents at the Mystic Grill, because she's there and he's again being like kind of sneaky with her, wants to go around the back, doesn't want to introduce her to his parents. It's a whole thing. They get in a fight over it, rightfully so. Like, good for you, Vicky. That's dumb. And then she leaves, and after she leaves, his mom calls her trash.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that like, if your parents are classist, so be it. But if you're not classist and you're dating someone in a different class than you, then you need to have that hard conversation and be like, look, it's not you, it's my parents, and you won't be meeting them because, listen, they don't like you, but I do, so get over it. And then she would have been fine. Communication is key.
Yeah, and as we've learned, Vicky has low standards for like how she's treated, so like really the bare minimum would have like, that would have done.
Yeah, she
it
just needs a conversation. Just like treat a girl with respect and like let her know.
Just communicate
that your parents are classist. She didn't care. She wasn't like, I want to meet your mom and dad. Like, she didn't, she just wanted to like be accepted, which whatever.
She wanted to be invited in.
Through the front ass door. And she was mad. And he was like, why are you mad? Gaslighted.
Yeah. So what's a girl to do? She goes to plan B, leaves Tyler's little party. knocks on the Gilbert doorstep and just macks on Jeremy.
It makes me really sad for Jeremy that he's like always the backup pick. He doesn't seem to mind that he's the second option.
I think he's happy for Jeremy.
Yeah.
That's all we, again, end of Jeremy. That's his little, this poor actor gets about 30 seconds of screen time.
Exactly. So, God, what happens then?
Still at the Founders Ball, Bonnie lights a candle on fire with her mind.
Yeah, she's just like sitting bored at the table and she's like, let's try this out.
Poor Bonnie doesn't have a date.
I know. And she asked all her friends and they're like, I'm going with a boy. Sad. We've all been there, really.
So naturally, you start lighting things on fire with only your brain. Later in the episode, we see that she's actually lit all the candles in the dining room.
Yeah, and she was just as shocked as we were. She like turned around Spooky. And was like, did I do that? And guess what, girl? You did, because you're probably a witch.
Yeah, she's for sure she's a witch. And I have to bring this up because it definitely came to the forefront of my mind. And I don't even want to say this term, but it is very magical Negro trope, which I don't love.
No, yeah, you're right. That she's
the one woman of color in the show is a witch. It's kind of like, I've seen this before.
It's all very, I mean, you can see it. Like, the football players are aggressive and the blonde girl's kind of a slut. And the da-da-da, like, it's just.
Yeah, but, like, more so than classic, like, high school stereotypes. Like, this is something that we see in the, like, African-American character is generally speaking. There's a number of different roles that they can fill. And one of them is, like, the magical Negro role. Which, like, obviously Bonnie in this show is a strong character and she's a badass and like she makes it work, but I just feel like I don't want it to go unsaid that like that is something that is recognized.
That's a really good point.
So I don't know, take that, think about it, read a book, be better,
watch a documentary.
Watch a fucking documentary and don't be a piece of shit. Representation is super important. And if you only have one, if this was a cast of all African American characters, then like, and like one was a witch or whatever, like for sherzies, but I think it just is like.
No, it's definitely notable.
It's not an accident.
It's not an accident. And the sad part is like, I was going to be like, that's just 2009 for you, but like it hasn't gotten better. Mm-hmm. Like things aren't different. So.
So that being said, we'll move on. Bonnie, we can pretty much assume, is most certainly some type of witch or possesses some sort of power based on this episode and the past episodes.
Yeah, they keep glazing over her like little plot line. She keeps just doing like magical things and we're just like, all right, on to makeout sessions. But
yeah, which, speaking of which, on to Elena and Stefan have a little dance.
Oh, wait, Stefan dances with Caroline also. Are we there yet?
Yeah, that's a weird thing. That's a weird thing that happens. Basically, in order to tell Elena the whole like church being burned story that we just spoke about, he basically compels Caroline to ask for a dance with Stefan so that he can be alone with Elena to like stir shit.
Yeah, but it kind of backfires because it's in this moment that Stefan and Caroline share a drink together.
Mm-hmm.
Which ends up being part of Damon's demise later in the episode.
The plan. Uncle Zach
and his like underground growing.
Is he going to screw the pooch this time?
This was like very intricate for the show. I feel like this like plot that I loved, by the way, the way that they got.
Yeah.
How did Stefan know that Damon was going to kill Caroline that night? Who knows?
Well, I mean, he for sure knew that at the very least he was going to drink her blood within the next like 24 hours. So pretty smart of him to get some vervain up in that bitch.
Poison Caroline. I mean, it's just like, and so I guess then also vervain doesn't affect mortals.
Right. Well, Elena's walking around with her little ugly ass heirloom necklace that's helping
it's
her
so
out.
It's so ugly. Is it, was she wearing it in this episode? Does she wear it all the time? I don't even think I noticed it.
Yeah, she was wearing it with her orange little dress.
It's so ugly. The dress looked great.
Her boobies were popping for sure. Yeah, good for her. So they're dancing. I think she's wearing a bumpet. Not to like bring that out of the dusty crevice of your brain.
Yeah, I just had like a flashback to like.
Are you okay?
The bumpet infomercial.
I had bumpets.
I did, and I just tried to replicate it with bobby pins, which didn't work, by the way.
Yeah, no, that's hella teasing. So bad. So damaging for your hair.
Whatever. It was 2012. What are you going to do?
Was it worth it?
No, I never got the effect.
Yeah, I bet. Well, I didn't, and I had bumpets, and I never achieved the effect. So.
Well, and it's ugly anyway, so it's probably for the best.
And I was walking around with a piece of plastic, like, crammed into my skull.
For what? To look like you had, like, volume? Like, I don't even...
And at that point, I was, like, 13, so do you think my, like, soft-ass skull and, like, developing brain were affected? Was that just a mechanism to, like, control us further?
Wow, that's getting real conspiracy. I don't know.
The Bumpet conspiracy.
It could easily be true. I was going to say we should reference Shane Dawson, but Shane Dawson has been canceled.
He has been, rightfully so.
He's a pedophile and also into bestiality, which are bad.
And also, like, did blackface on YouTube for many years.
God, he's so problematic. I watched a video on him and I was like, yikes.
Yeah, that's a big yikesies, but we need to find a new Shane Dawson to take up our battle against bumpets and brain control.
It'll be us, your conspiracy theory experts. Oh, a hunch I have.
Going all sorts of different directions here. So Elena basically is trying to pick Stefan's brain while they're dancing and is trying to get a little bit more information on this whole Catherine saga now that she's had both Damon and Bonnie kind of like whisper in her ear about it. And he basically tells her to let it go. Typical.
It's really a relatable like conversation you have with the significant other wherein you like have something bothering you and you want to bring it up and all she needs, if you just have an I need statement conversation where you're like, I need this from you. I feel this way when you do this and here's what I need. They could have gotten past this. Instead, she used to beat around the bush and she's like, so tell me about Catherine. And he's like, No, he's like, that's my ex-girlfriend. And like, I don't like to talk about it. And she's like, well, if you're not going to talk about it, then I actually don't know anything about you, which is so true. She really doesn't. What do we know about Stefan other than he's just weirdly obsessed with Lena?
That he's hot.
And that he's hot and a vampire.
What more do you need?
And it's because he's like harboring all these secrets that he can't just be his true self. And all Elena wants is for her to have a boyfriend that is his true self and like just wants to have a best friend, and I don't think that's asking too much.
Yeah, but I think like even if they were to have, first of all, very healthy for you to bring up having an I need conversation, I think we can all put that into good use. But that being said, like if she were to say to Stefan like, I need the truth, obviously she's not going to get it because he's not going to be like, well, the truth is that I'm a vampire and so is my brother. And my brother is using your best friend as like a human fucking blood bag.
Yeah.
And, you know, for this reason and that reason, blah, blah, blah. And earlier we wrestled a mountain lion to like evade the news, you know.
And we killed the football coach.
Also, we killed the football coach. So take that.
No, you're right. Like,
she'd probably say thank you because Mr. Tanner was an absolute asshole.
I hated Mr. Tanner, but it like I don't know. I just feel like if you can only keep secrets for so long, and if Stefan doesn't start opening up his heart, then Elena's gonna dip. That's what I think.
Yeah, probs. She kind of does dip for like a hot second there, but then she apologizes. Again, so typical. Like you brought up your needs and then you go and apologize for having needs and taking up space.
No, it honestly, that's so true. She was like, he was like, I can't give you what you need. And she's like, walks away huffing and puffing. Maybe an hour, probably less. In the show, it was minutes. She comes back and she's like, I'm sorry that I made you talk to me and I'm actually over it. Just don't be mad at me, please.
Yeah, 1 hour and a glass of champagne later, and she's already foregoed all need for communication in her relationship. And if that's not relatable, I just don't know what is. The show's
super relatable.
In the meantime, Damon steals an ugly ass crystal from the heirlooms that are like being presented at this founder's ball.
Yeah. And Caroline's just like all questions. She's like, what's that? Where'd you get it? How long ago did you put it in the thing? I was like, Caroline, shut the fuck up. He's a vampire.
Yeah. You kind of understand Damon's desire to compel her to shut when the fuck up.
He tells her to stop talking. There's one so line sad. And he goes, I need you to stop talking. I was like, God, that's so mean.
It's so mean. It's so bad. The whole plot line of him just
using her.
Just absolutely using Caroline is really unfortunate.
She's so pretty, though.
She's so pretty and blonde, and she's cute.
She's so cute, even though her dress is literally so ugly. She's wearing those, like, little short sleeve crop vest, like, crocheted sweater things over her dress. And I was like, God, I feel like I'm at a cotillion.
Yeah, the pit stains on that would just be unreal. Oh, yeah. You wear that so difficult to get out in the wash.
Two wears and that thing's donezo.
Speaking of Caroline and being used, Elena sees the damage. She sees the bite marks. She pulls up that little skinny scarf she's been wearing since like episode 2.
Yeah.
And very naturally freaks out.
Yeah, and that is, like, actually so, and, like, I get that they're vampires and whatever, but it's just so, like, reminiscent of just, like, any sort of domestic abuse situation where how do you bring that up? You have to be, because naturally the person would be kind of defensive and be like, I told you not to touch me, like, get the fuck away from me, but obviously Elena's just so concerned for her friend, but Caroline just storms away. She doesn't want anything to do with it. So
yeah, and she insists that Damon, you know, didn't mean to hurt her and it's no big deal, blah, 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 and leaves. Damon finds her and sinks his motherfucking teeth into her neck with, based on like the rest of this episode and the things that he's saying to her and that like he hasn't, you know, at the beginning, he's like, I'm not going to kill you yet. All that stuff, like you can assume that at this point Damon's like, I'm just gonna just end this here now and just drain her.
Yeah, you can tell that at that point she's just way more like work and upkeep than he was anticipating, which
yeah,
I feel like that's how men feel about women in general, but you're like, oh, you have a personality and have needs, I'm probably good.
Let's generalize about men. Let's generalize about
not
men.
Not all men are bad.
One bad thing about one man. Make it about all of them.
All men suck. No. All men.
All men will drain your body of blood once they no longer have a use for you.
I don't know. This show is just like, there's so many metaphors. I just...
Do you think they intended for this, for us to pick it apart in this way?
Yeah, they're like, this is a metaphor for domestic violence. Probably not.
Turns out the Vampire Diaries has been way more profound than any of us thought.
No, the show has a lot of like nuanced themes. So
yeah, there's a lot to work with. So lucky for Caroline, she has been drinking as an underage individual, and she's been drinking vervain, baby.
It goes completely unnoticed throughout the party that all these high schoolers are just getting, none of them are like wasted.
They're sipping.
They're just like, yeah, casually sipping a flute of champagne, which, yeah. What is that? I don't know.
All right. Yeah, it's pretty loose and free in this episode in terms of the alcohol. But yeah, she's been sipping on vervain and Damon's pretty surprised. He is all weak and, you know, kryptonited or whatever, and is then hauled off by Stefan, thrown into the dungeon of the Salvatore house and locked away.
The growery, if you will. And then Elena finds her and she's like, are you okay? And oh my God, the acting that Caroline does in this like little scene where she's like, I'm fine, and she's like clearly having a panic attack and then just starts sobbing into Elena's arms. I was like, wow, that was honestly, great acting.
Bravo. Pretty heart-wrenching. That whole storyline is very difficult.
Because, I mean, I don't know to what extent she's been compelled to just act like she's okay, but she's obviously been hurting, and it can't be easy to be, like, manipulated by someone.
Also, I really like Caroline as a character, and just, like, her... She wants to be loved so badly. You know, she's looking at Stefan and Elena and feeling jealous, and, you know, that's what she wants. Obviously, that's not what she's getting with Damon, although she's trying to convince herself, and he's also trying to convince her that that's what that is. So,
again, yeah, with the relatable themes, but continuing.
She also, this is noteworthy, she finds the crystal.
Yeah.
It must have fallen out of his pocket or whatever as Stefan hauled his lifeless body off. But now Caroline is in possession of the crystal. Yeah,
which we have yet to know its true powers. But
speaking of powerful, inanimate, and very ugly objects, something about the Gilbert watch is very important. And in the end of the episode, we see Mayor Lockwood and his wife, Mrs. Lockwood, Sheriff Forbes, a.k.a. Ellen DeGeneres, and Logan Fell, a.k.a. toxic high school ex-boyfriend, all, like, gathered to meet about, you know, did you get the Gilbert watch? And also talking about the five bodies all drained of blood.
And they were like, they've come back.
They've come back. So now this is really interesting, because we know that kind of before we were operating under, okay, no one knows about vampires and they're just running around, running amok, doing whatever. But it turns out that obviously this town has a history of vampires, maybe the same ones, aka Damon and Stefan, maybe other ones, and that they know and are wanting to do something about it, potentially with the Gilbert Watch.
Yeah, so the Gilbert Watch is really important, which leads us to believe that the Gilberts at large have, like, some sort of history with, like, vampires or something. Yeah. Which is interesting. Yeah. Maybe God, I keep wanting to say Elizabeth, and every time I say it I know it's wrong. Catherine is some sort of, like, long lost ancestor of Elena's, which would make a lot of sense because they are identical.
So yeah, and that's the end of the episode, and Logan Fell says that he's on the mish to get the Gilbert watch, which is potentially why he was, like, really harassing Aunt Jenna.
Yeah, he's like, don't worry, I'll get it for you. And I was like, fuck. I was, like, just kind of starting to like Logan. Like, the banter was really fun. I really liked the energy he was bringing to the table. And now he's a piece of shit, so.
Yeah, so that's big bums for Jenna and just the rest of our little crew here. Kind of an uneventful episode. No one even lost their life.
No one died, and or got assaulted. So pretty mellow. I did think it was so full on hilarious when they talked about Twilight, which I guess just went over your little head. But
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what I was. I must have been, like, getting my snacks or something when that was going on.
Yeah. But I was like, that's so hilarious. Because how can you not, especially knowing that the timeline was, like, kind of similar, how can they not be like, ha ha, Twilight, like, we got to nip this in the bud while we can. And they were like, they got it all wrong. Yeah. That's the last we're going to say about it. Stop comparing us to Twilight.
They dedicated a couple lines in the script to that one, which we're, you know, we're thankful for. That was pretty funny. And that Damon is the one to bring it up, of course.
Of course.
All right. Well, that's our episode for today. Hopefully the next one, at least one person dies. Good Lord. Give me something to work with.
Yeah, I'm just, like, snooze fest over here. Although, I do love a ball, I will say. All right. Until next time.
All right. Adios. Bye.
Mystic balls.